Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 195 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Snafu with Amazing Waste. That's off their Exile Banishment album. Just came out last week on Housecore Records. That's a song for the dirty people. Did you like it? You might be dirty. That's the way it goes. I mean, if you like that DB kind of diss hardcore, then you might have a hygiene problem. Or you might not, and you might live nice and clean and just like your music a little dirty. And that's me. I am the exception to this rule. You might be too. But first, I'm going to suspect that you aren't. You're dirty. So yeah, I hope you liked that song. I liked it. The rest of the album's really cool too. So as I mentioned, it's out already. You should check it out. Snafu, Exile / Banishment, out now everywhere on Housecore Records. So that's an album that just came out. And now, for the rest of the episode, we're going to talk about an album that has yet to come out, but will be out soon, October 29th to be exact. We'll see the release of the debut full-length from Chicago's MH Chaos. Anchet and Evan, guitar and bass from the band, are with me on this episode to discuss that record, the band, Chicago Hardcore, and a little bit else. What exactly? You'll have to listen to find out. Let's do the intro.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitchettes? It's the illustrious Hot Dog back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? He said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap first, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap first. The Hardcore podcast. He said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in and out! All right, motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, J Money, and LFTW forever!
All right, so here we are, the last episode before I start talking about basketball on every episode, because that's right, basketball is back this week, baby, so life gets back to normal. The Sixers are ready to disappoint me, and you're going to be hearing about it each and every week, I suspect. But until then, you've got this episode, all right? So I got to talk to you a little bit about sports right off the bat, right? The Eagles played the Buccaneers on Thursday night, knew that was a loss going into it, and turns out it absolutely was. Okay, so moving on from that. Fantasy football, I'm doing terrible this year. Today, I thought I had something going for me. This week, I should say, I thought I had something going for me. It looked like my team was gonna do great. And then Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen dropped off the face of the earth. So I'm back to hating fantasy football. It brings me no joy. I don't know why I sign up for it every year. It's just a waste of money. Last year, I came in second place. For the first time ever, I placed. Even though I had Alvin Kamara, and he had 6 touchdowns in the championship game, and I still lost. That's how much I hate fantasy football. But I'm here again, doing it again. and I'm sucking again. I am 1-4. This is by far my worst season so far. About to be 1-5, I think. Is that possible? Are we on week 6? If we are, I've only won one, so that's what I do know. And it's not going well. I just got Stephon Diggs and AJ Brown still to go this week, and they gotta score me like a combined 60 points, which is possible, but not probable. It's not probable. It's not going to happen. So I'm going to put those far-reaching dreams aside and just accept defeat for this week again. And it's not a case where I can tank and get the worst pick or the best pick. That's not how it works. It's an auction draft. So I just got to quit. You know, I got to throw in the towel. But anyway, speaking of things that are disappointing, I'm drinking a beer right now. It's from Snyder's of Hanover, who make pretzels. That's a snack food company around here. I believe they call Hanover the snack food capital of the world, and it'd be hard to argue against that. There are chip factories on every corner, pretzel factories here and there, everywhere. But this is it's a beer, a pretzel Marzen beer that they made in collaboration with Captain Lawrence Brewery, who are not from around here, so I'm not sure how that collab came about. Elmsford, New York is Captain Lawrence. And you know what? It doesn't taste a thing like pretzel. I thought it'd be cool. It's not. It's just like it's just another Marzen. And I'm tired of the damn Marzen beers. All right? Every October, I buy these Marzen and pumpkin beers. And I don't like any of them. But I do it. I do it. All, it's like this fantasy football thing. I set myself up for disappointment every time. I think maybe this will be the year I like it. No, it's not. And here I am, talking about it, telling you about it. You don't want to hear about it. But somebody's got to hear about it. And it's going to be you. All right? But other than that, I have been wondering lately about people whose houses have the mailbox on the opposite side of the road. That seems unfair. It seems like your house should be cheaper if you're on the side without the mailboxes. There should be a reduction in your mortgage for living on the opposite side of the street of your mailbox. But I also feel that there should be a increase in your life insurance, because you're walking across the street 100% more than your across-the-street neighbors. They've got it easy and safe over there. They just walk down to the curb and grab some mail. You got to walk across the street. Forget how busy it is. It could happen to anybody. Winter, snowplows, and you got to get your mail? That's a death sentence. Maybe not immediately. Maybe it'll take a couple years. But eventually, you're going to get run over by a snowplow. And I don't think that's very fair. And I think your house should be cheaper, but I do think you should pay more in life insurance. I don't want to encourage fraud, but maybe not tell your life insurance company that you live on the opposite side of the street as your mailbox. Could be a bad move. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they're not onto this yet. Maybe I'm just the first one to think of it. Probably. I'm a trendsetter like this. Okay. As I mentioned, on this episode, I have an interview with Anchet and Evan. They play guitar and bass in MH Chaos. MH Chaos has a new record coming out on Fast Break Records and From Within Records. It's a co-release. It hits the streets October 29th. There's a couple different versions out there. You can go buy them now. You should quickly. I know Fast Break is like basically sold out, and they're the ones with the extra songs. So if you missed that, too bad. But From Within has a few copies left, so go check them out. Okay, so before we get into this interview, I'm going to play you a song from that record. It's going to be Chaos Returns. This track is currently available streaming everywhere and will be for the end of time, I suspect. But you're going to listen to it right now here on Getting It Out Podcast, episode 195.
You're gonna need a stick. Fix the place. Drop down, drop, climb back.
How did you guys find hardcore?
I mean, I guess I'll go first. When I was like 11 or 12, my uncle was kind of into like a few punk bands, but he showed me the Dead Kennedys. That's kind of where I first got like a feeling for it, I guess, or like a feeling for hardcore. But then it wasn't really till like middle school, one of my best friends at the time who I played hockey with, like, found, like, I don't know, I can't even remember how he found it. He had like a Madball CD. He'd set it off, and then he had the Black My Heart record, and we both started he showed me those, and we listened to them, and then I got like really into like Death Before Dishonor. It was like a really big band for me that I kind of got me into it. So that's kind of like my start, is just like one of my best friends, like childhood best friends, kind of got me into it.
Yeah, honestly, like similar for me. For me, it was probably essentially my blood brother. He got me into skateboarding as a young child, and skateboarding, I mean, as like a young brown kid coming into this world, like, I mean, I learned about a lot of fucking bands and kind of shit that I would never been exposed to. So him playing in bands before I even knew what playing in a band was, and knew if that it was even possible for some people like us, seeing him do it first. And, you know, he would play a venue kind of close by where we lived in Aurora called Doug's Rock House. It used to be called Riley's Rock House. A lot of fucking cool shows happened there. And he would go to shows there all the time and play in the band. And eventually, you know, that kind of inspired me to do the kind of same shit. And, we ended up getting to play that same venue. Just kind of similar to Evan, bands like Death Before Dishonor, Hoods, Madball, Terror, Naysayer, those are kind of the bands that we were lucky enough to see at that time. And in addition to that, there was a great local scene, coming in around there. So, it was a lot of cool, like, more metalcore shit. I was like more heavily into that at first, and that's kind of more what I was exposed to.
Yeah.
But as time went on, I heard there was more straight up hardcore bands that played, and I would see these bands play at this venue, and now those same people that I saw when I was so young, and I thought, it's just like, I thought I would never be in that world, but now I'm in bands with some of these fucking people too, so it's funny how this shit works.
It is, and it's funny. It sounds like both of you guys were getting into it around the same time frame. And to me, it sounds like early 2000s, maybe, give or take a couple of years. Like you're talking about, the metalcore influence was huge back then. I don't even know that we called it metalcore. It was just, that was part of hardcore. Like, it isn't so much these days, but that's the way I felt it was back then. But I remember when bands like Death Before Dishonor started like really getting popular, and it did seem like, oh, more, this is like the real hardcore stuff. Terror started coming out, and I also drifted that way too. I think it's funny also you mentioned the skateboarding. Not funny, haha, but funny. Like, to me, I always say skateboarding is the real gateway drug. Skateboarding, even though I was never any good at it, got me into all the things that I would be into. It got you into whatever, all the music, the good music. I got a skateboard or a sampler CD with my first pair of skate shoes that had all the songs on it. It got me to start smoking weed and drinking when I was way too young. It got me to meet the guys that I would go to shows with, and that's just the way, and it was all, really, it all goes back to skateboarding, but it's cool that we each find it different ways. You mentioned your local scene. Evan, I know you were somewhere else at the time, right? You were in New York?
Yeah, originally from.
Okay, so both of you would have a different answer to this question, I'd imagine. Who was, if there was there a local band at the time you were getting into it that could headline shows?
From the area?
Yeah, like from where you were at.
So I guess for me, maybe not headline, but like middle of a bill, or like they're kind of popular within like New York City. This is band Any Last Words from Binghamton, New York. So they're like, they had two singers, and it's just like some tough guy beatdown shit, but like they were always playing with like Line of Scrimmage or fucking Brookside or like any of the bands from down there. Like we used to play, they used to play like a lot of Pittsburgh bands too, like Unit 731, Vow of Hatred, those bands. But they were that band was probably the biggest band that got out of my town. And at that point too, it was still like kind of regionally, like the Northeast.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're talking like, you know, when I like was my like, very first introduction.
Yeah, when you started getting into it. Yeah. Locally, who was the big one?
This band called Through the Fire.
Okay.
They were a pretty big one. They were a band that like mixed that metal and hardcore pretty well. Like they had that fine line, and they were one of them that kind of fucking, I think, drew me over. Like, and they would play with hardcore bands. Like they played with The Killer.
Yeah.
You know, before I honestly even knew what the Killer was, you know.
Yeah.
I knew Fire before that. But yeah, The Killer's another one of them. You know, looking back, they fucking did a lot of awesome shows and around that time. Enjoy the Massacre was another one. Rest in peace to our brother Gene, who sang for that band. They were a really great band, and they headline shows. And then there's that more deathcore, death metal band, Oceano. They were also in that kind of realm, playing those shows. So yeah, they were a big. They always headlined, so I would see that a lot.
Well, I feel like back then there was a lot more mixed bills too, or a lot more variety, a lot more, a bigger arc, I should say. Like you still get mixed bills now, but back then it was like you could be Oceano and you could have a straight up hardcore band playing on the same show and it would be totally normal, right? Even though they don't necessarily sound the same. So I guess we could go, being that you were from Evan, what year did you move to Chicago?
I moved to Chicago like the beginning of 2015, so I've been out here almost like 6 years now.
Okay, so rather than ask you when you both started playing music, when did you both start playing music together?
Honestly, with MH, like, I've been friends with Anshit and TJ, like, everyone in the band I've been friends with for, I mean, even years before I ended up moving out here. Like, we'd all met through, like, mutual friends, through some other bands. But, really, we didn't all start playing music together till MH. Like, Beaver, Alex, our drummer, Anshit and TJ had Bitter Thoughts, and that was just, like, one of the bands in Chicago that I've always loved, and it's like a band that I found out about before I even had met Anshit. Like John, who sings in Anshit's other band Sector, actually like introduced me to Anshit, like showed me his band and stuff like that, and just kind of from there, just like we all became really close friends.
Did you guys know where you wanted to, what sounds you wanted to do with MH Chaos when you formed MH Chaos?
I mean, we all definitely have like similar tastes as far as like older New York stuff goes, you know, like Everybody Gets Hurt, Neglect, Madball, stuff like that. So we have like an idea, but we also wanted to like, we wanted to be Chicago at the same time too, because like we all live here, and it's, I mean, even for me, it's been like the scene has been a huge part of my life. So I think it's kind of like drawing influences from like New York hardcore bands, but putting like our own Chicago spin on things, and not just like cookie cutter bullshit. Like we, you know, we want to keep it original and try new shit, and really that's all the band I think really was, is just all of us being close friends, and we just wanted to make a band for Chicago and just have a band where we could just rep for Chicago, because like that scene has just given so much to all of us.
That's a good answer. And actually I would put this one to you, because I've asked this question to a lot of Chicago bands, a lot of Chicago hardcore bands, and the answer is the same every time, and I suspect it will be again, but I gotta try it. If there's a hierarchy as far as Chicago hardcore, what band's at the top, like of all time? What is the Chicago hardcore band?
The Kill.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I think no matter what anyone does or will do in the future, it will never match that. I just don't think it will. I mean, it could match, but at the same time, it's just yeah, I mean, we respect the people before us, and we wouldn't be shit without them. So Yeah, I mean, I think essentially, yeah, like it all trickles down. And I mean, a bit, it's not like they were the first people some of us met coming into the scene. It's not like they were like, hey, yeah, like, yo, be a part of this. But he would, I mean, Shane Merrill, he booked a lot of shows that a lot of us went to. That was like some of the first hardcore shows that a lot of us went to. So, yeah, I think we respect that a lot. And that's like just something that we carry on everywhere is that, like Evan said, we just rep Chicago.
It's fine. That's awesome, and I love that everybody has the same answer. No, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter which Chicago hardcore band I talk
Yeah.
to, they're going to say The Killer, and that's what I'm going to expect them to say too, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's funny that for as well known as The Killer is in Chicago and in certain circles of hardcore, but overall not very well known.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, I didn't personally know about the band until I would say like 2011 when I met John, like when he was in Warhound. Like they're all like, "Oh, you gotta check out The Killer." I was like, "The Killer? Like what the fuck is that?" Like, yeah, I'll check it out. 'Cause like in New York, you know, we hear like at the time like Warhound was getting big, but you had like Harm's Way, We Get Nachos, which I mean, if anyone doesn't know We Get Nachos, the band's fucking incredible. But even then, like 2011, like they showed me The Killer, and I was like, "What the fuck? This is like the craziest shit I've ever heard." Because it's just like, I don't know, it's just super heavy, and like just the lyrics in it are like super painful and like honest. It's like, I don't know, that there's just a band that like kind of blew me away, to be
Yeah.
honest.
Well, I'm glad they still do some things and exist in a way. I know they're not out there night and day, but I'm sure, but they contributed to your record, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, Shane and Luke, they were awesome in doing parts on the song that we put out, Natural Born Killer.
That just
Yeah, I
came out
mean,
today, right?
yeah, yes. Yeah, streaming now. It's got Shane and Luke on it. Fucking yeah, please check it out if you get a chance. Yeah, we love those guys, and it means a lot to it makes the track special. Another kind of cool part, all that recently found out, we have a track coming out called Bond, and we used a clip in the beginning of the track, and it's from this movie called The Untouchables, and Shane's first band, Roundhouse, actually used the same exact clip in their song, in their first demo. I didn't know, like none of us knew that, and just fucking mind-blowing that to have that connection
Yeah.
is fucking cool.
It's your first proper full length, right?
Yeah.
There's as far as I know, there is a split with Invoke. There's the demo. You have a song on the Unity, One Scene Unity comp behind you.
Oh
And maybe is there anything else out there?
yeah.
No, that's it.
That's it. So this record, the self-titled record, you went with the self-titled. Why did you choose self-titled?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just I just have
Yeah. I think we
this
just
makes sense.
went with it. Like, here it is. Like, this is what it is, us. Like, I don't know. That's how I look at it now. It's just like everyone's always like people who don't know, like, just see MH Chaos. Like, oh, what's MH Chaos? Like, Multiple Home Front Chaos. So, like, I don't know. I guess it's just like, here we are, and like, this is us.
Fuck yeah.
That's the way to do it. I mean, that's I always think the first record should be the self-titled record, because later when you do it, you seem to see this bands that do it twice. That shit makes no sense to me. Drop Dead in Rhode Island did it like 10 times now. No, which yeah, it's impossible. But I know you've had to explain this a bunch of times, and I know the answer, but for people who are listening who might not, can you please tell me about the name MH Chaos? And
Yeah.
how long are you going to keep this name before you're tired of it, before you start switching it up on people and telling them different stories about what it means? You can do something different every time. Yeah.
We should switch it up. Fuck. I mean, yeah, it's a CIA. It was a CIA operation. The government fucking put in place to, just like watch over the Black Panthers and like shit that was going on around that time to like uncover like treason that was going on. So, in our terms, it's like fuck all that. Like fuck the government. This is like MH. That's our government. Like we are. Like where we come from. Evan comes from Binghamton. I come from India. TJ is Italian. Beaver and Dave come from Hispanic descent, and I think we all come from different fucking places, and like we just our goal is pretty similar. We all like a lot of the same music, and a lot of our thoughts collide. And so in terms of the band, it's just like, yeah, we come from different areas, but at the end of the day, well, we're just gonna unite to bring fucking chaos. And yeah, I guess that, I don't know if Evan has more he wants to add to that, but
no, I think that's pretty spot on. Like really for us, like we kind of said earlier, like a big thing for us is repping Chicago and like showing people, you know, our area and the bands from our area and what we're about. And I think with that name too, like when we go to other scenes, like we want to see what people are about. We want to see them go off, rep their cities, right? Like everyone has a scene, they belong to something, and that's why this shit's important. So let's see what you guys got. I mean, whether it's moshing, whatever you want to say, but like, just like we want to see it. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's our shit.
Yeah, hardcore is beautiful. Like getting to fucking play the shows that we've had to and see the scenes and the people we can't that we've had to. I mean, it's been great. Like,
yeah, and like so far too. I don't think we plan on stopping anytime soon. So like, just meeting more people and like seeing more areas, seeing different scenes, and just kind of like, you know, getting those experiences is huge.
Well, seeing what you've been able to see so far and play where you've been able to play, what makes the Chicago hardcore scene different?
It's a good question. For me, feels like home. You know, a lot of scenes feel like home, but I don't know, just the venues, the people there, the people who work there. And, you know, I think that from the old generation to the new, there's great people in all categories, and you can find a way to connect with so many different fucking people and learn so much. And I feel like Evan could say the same. Like, I learn every day from everyone in our band and everyone I've seen. So, yeah, I think for me that's what it is. And I'm sure a lot of people can say the same for their own scene.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just to go off like what I'm just saying, like I'm not from Chicago, but I like come out and visit periodically and like go to shows, and like Anja said, like it just felt like home. Like, yeah, New York, Binghamton feels like home to me for sure, but like something here was just different. I don't know, like the easiest way to describe it is just like the city. Like Chicago's like a hardworking blue collar city, like no bullshit, everyone puts their head down and works. Like I feel like the same could be said for the bands in the scene, the people in the scene. One thing when I like started going to shows here too is like, and not to say like other scenes are like this, but like there's almost like zero sense of like an ego. Like everyone is like happy to just be around each other, have fun, be at the shows, you know, what, smoking blunts out back, fucking chilling inside with your friends, doing whatever. I don't know, like I said, it's just like the city, like everyone kind of minds their own business. They're focused on having a good time and like no bullshit. So as long as you just come and you act right, you're not being a shithead, causing trouble, doing whatever, like you won't have an issue and we'll welcome you with open arms.
That's great. And from an outsider perspective, and again, from all the bands from Chicago I've spoken to over the last couple of years, there seems to be a mutual respect. There's like a respect thing happening with Chicago between other bands, between other, like the, it doesn't seem cutthroat. Again, this is from a very outside perspective, so I don't know. I don't see the inner, but everybody seems supportive of what each other are doing, even if it's different. And like I said, everybody all respects the killer. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's, everybody seems to be on the same page with like on the same wavelength. There's like a high tide raises all ships, you know, and not trying to chop each other down and one up each other, because first of all, it's fucking hardcore and there's nowhere to go. So it's pointless, but you might as well just have fun with it. The Chicago scene though seems stronger than ever. And I've seen more bands come from it recently. Am I right in saying that it seems stronger than ever? Because I don't remember this many bands coming from Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, I feel it 100%. Like, I mean, yeah, the Midwest and Chicago, I feel like it's been overlooked. Like, there's been definitely some awesome bands. Weekend Nachos, Harm's Way. I think they got some pretty good recognition.
Yeah.
There's some even better bands, like insult to injury, fucking convicted, like some bands that maybe didn't get off, you know, like that, but the same people are in those bands. So, but I think now there's like younger bands even, and that are bringing new shit to the table, new fucking styles, and just like, I don't know, they're just different people, and that's awesome, you know. And I think I don't know, it's just fucking great to see that there are like that band Break the Cycle. They drove out to Long Island and Pain of Truth added them on a show like last minute, and just seeing the videos of them having the time of their lives, it's just, that was their second show. I mean,
yeah,
right. I haven't heard of some people doing some shit like that, and yeah, just to think that someone from Chicago did that is pretty cool.
Yeah, people respect just going for just show up, and the, you know, that's half the battle. So I kind of touched on it a little earlier. I don't know if this is before. I think I said this right when you got on, but you've gotten this extra exposure from a couple of different things, and one of them, of course, is that video. How much of a bump did you see in listeners just from that video?
Dude, I don't really know, but it's funny. Like Sonny Hate56 always jokes around with like the Hate56 effect.
Yeah, I mean, but it's gotta be like
that, yeah, like that. Yeah, I don't even know, man. Like I don't know, dude. Like we got like a lot of attention from it for sure. I'm not sure how much it went up. It definitely jumped up a little bit, and definitely helped us out as far as like reaching more people and like newer people that might not have known about us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know like an exact number or anything.
Oh no, I just find it funny. I see it in places I'm not looking for it. You know what I mean? And then it just pops up like Jesus Christ, this thing again. Like I'm sick of seeing it. You know, like but
yeah. And you know, like after a while, it's just like, all right, like beer guy video, great. Like God bless that guy. Like that dude like, took it like a champ. Like I just talked to him a couple times too. You know, so he's like a really good sport about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But
if you're there and you're standing, you know where you're at. You mean you're wearing a Shadow Realm jersey, you're good. You don't mind a
Yeah. But yeah, like you said too, like I have a friend, like my same friend who I got into hardcore with, he's no longer like affiliated with hardcore, but he lives in Texas now, and some like random girl he works with like turned to him and like showed him the video, and he was like what the fuck, and then he like hit me up about it. He's like, yo, this like random girl at work showed me the video of the beer guy, and I was like, holy shit. Like, that's when I was kind of like, oh fuck, like this is, we kind of made it outside of our realm.
Yeah
Jazz. It got too much, but it's cool. I mean,
no, it's a good problem to have, right? It's you can't even call it a problem, but that's good. I was just curious because look at, like I said, it keeps coming up. It's been a couple months now, right? And okay, so a bit of a serious question, kind of. It depends which way you want to take it. Lyrically, I've been listening to diving into the lyrics a little bit. I can't read them, but luckily your guy, I can make out his voice very nicely. So being in a band as heavy as MH Chaos, right? Do you feel like you get pigeonholed in some dumb goon beat down bullshit where your lyrics aren't even analyzed because it's just heavy, where I think there are some things that are being said specifically towards the end of the record that are more, I don't know, they're more important than mosh riffs and shit, you know, like there's actually more lyrical depth to it. Do you think that people are going to latch onto that, or is it just going to get lost in a heavy hardcore?
I mean, on one hand, I hope, you know, yeah, like people do read into the lyrics, and I think we'll do our best to, you know, put that out there because it is so important, and like we do have a lot of shit to say on this record. You know, I can't hate on someone just fucking liking the music and wanna just go fucking punch someone's head off. We fuck with that too, but like listening to the lyrics, because like if you're not doing that, then I don't know what the fuck's the point.
Yeah,
of this shit.
I feel like too, like, oh, sorry.
No, please go ahead.
But just like kind of with like our lyrics and stuff, like, yeah, like people might say the music is just like beat down and thuggy, but like I feel like a lot of the lyrics and stuff are like kind of painful, and just like dealing with like depression and like losing people you love to that, and like to addiction and stuff like that. Like, I think it does, in a way, the lyrics kind of match the music as far as it being like kind of like the darker side of things at some points. But right. I think too, like, I feel like we do a pretty good job of like keeping it, like, it's serious, but at the same time, like, we want people to have fun at this, like, you know, have fun with your friends and shit. But I feel like definitely, like, there's more to us than just like a beatdown band. Like, I definitely think people will appreciate the lyrics, especially like after this last year and a half, like dealing with whatever shit everyone's had to deal with. Like, everyone has their own shit. But I think after this last year, like, I don't know, hopefully like other bands have done for us, like our lyrics will help somebody through like the bullshit.
Yeah. No, I hear. And, I think again, what helps is, I'm sorry, what's the singer's name? I forget his name.
Davey.
He has that very unique voice, which I think is part of one of the big reasons why MHKS sticks out so much and why I like it so much, is a lot of times it's just that those vocals are, you know, they draw me in. I love that. But I like that you can hear what he's saying too. But like so heavy, like, I don't know. I don't even fucking like talking about Beatdown, because I don't feel like MHKS is a Beatdown band. I feel like Beatdown is something that I can barely stand. like, don't get me wrong. There's some bands that I love that people will probably consider Beatdown. Stout. I love Stout. But, you know, sure. Like, is that Beatdown? I don't know. But I love it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call you guys that. But there's other bands, like really, really heavy bands that I've been listening to my whole life. Not my whole life. My whole life into hardcore. Friends with them. And I couldn't tell you shit about their lyrics, because as far as I know, there's kind of just nonsense. Billy Club Sandwich. Love that band. I don't know that, I don't know if Martin has any meaningful lyrics. I don't know. I generally don't know, because when I hear that band, it's just like, all right, time to be a goon, you know?
I'm gonna fucking murder somebody.
yeah, you know? Like, so that's what I mean. Like, is there any, like, I guess it's not necessarily a bad thing that there's two ways to interpret MH Chaos, where, all right, I'm just going to be a caveman right now, or I'm going to actually listen, you know. But anyway, yeah, so this record's coming out on both Fast Break Record and From Within. What's that arrangement? How's that work?
So it's kind of just, they both are putting out vinyl, and Fast Break is doing the CD. They did a limited amount of vinyl. And then Carter from Within is also doing vinyl, different colorway, but it's just the new record. And the Fast Break version has our demo and the split songs on it. The vinyl does too. So that's the kind of cool thing about it. But essentially, like, when we got done playing FYA Fest 2 years ago, fucking Joe came up to us, and, you know, he fucking was moshing with a broken hand, and, you know, we never really met him, but we could tell he liked the music. And, you know, he came up to us after the set and said he wanted to, you know, put out a record for us and do something with us in some way. We didn't know what it entailed, like what it was going to be, but eventually, you know, we connected, and he was working with Fast Break. We got that hooked up. You know, they got a great team. Yeah. Like, everyone with Fast Break, it's like fucking phenomenal people, as you know, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And then also met Carter at FYA too. So fucking, that was around the same time we're all connected, and it just made sense. You know, they knew that, you know, Carter knew that we were putting out a record. So he reached out to do extra vinyl, and it all worked out, and, you know, we're grateful for that. There's some additional, a colorway through Days. Lumpy's doing that. Fucking shout out to him. He's fucking putting out great bands. That Momentum LP that just came out was really sick.
Yeah.
And then Nuclear Family from the UK, they're doing a limited colorway, alternate cover. So, yeah, I mean, we're just fucking grateful for these parties and people that are fucking down to help put this record out. So yeah, it somehow all worked out. It's just fucking essentially just one scene working together to help us, and we're very grateful for that.
Yeah, definitely. definitely super grateful because like, everyone involved is like over the last, I guess, almost a year that we've been working and like talking about all this, like everyone involved has been busting their ass, and like to see it all come together like that and like be where we're at now with it, like we're super grateful. Like it's nothing we could have ever imagined. This was just some shit to put on for Chicago and just have fun, and like to have it, to see it come to this point and see like people giving a fuck about it and like putting in time of their day to just to make things happen for us is just like super surreal. And we're definitely just like so grateful for it.
Yeah. And you too, man. Like,
yeah. And you too. Sure. Like,
oh, thank you. The pleasure is all mine. I, you know, like I said, I've been listening to you guys for a few years. I'm excited to see that you guys are getting a lot of the treatment right now that you are. Definitely popping up on a lot of radars. I was reading interviews with you today. I saw your stuff's out there. I listened to the Terra Zone episode. You know, and obviously you're going to be doing a lot of these things like we talked about earlier, and that's good for you. And I hope it continues because you got the right people in your corner. Obviously, I mean, you've seen how effective that is already. And you know, as all due respect, as soon as Joe Hardcore puts a stamp on it, that's pretty much as good an endorsement in hardcore as you can get, really. I mean, you know you're going to get pushed, and he's going to do it. So good on him for being a man of his word and getting you guys hooked up the way you have. Also with Fast Break Records, I know several of those guys, so I'm very glad to see that they're working with you guys. That record label, I think, has been underrated over the last few years, and they've brought a lot to the table. Whether people not notice, I don't know. All right, so when's the last time one of you got punched in the face?
Not too long ago.
No, it wasn't long ago?
It was pre-pandemic for me. Yeah.
You're talking about that Cro-Mag?
Yeah, yeah. Stupid shit. Pit beef, I guess. Fucking Lollapalooza-ass motherfucker.
I was curious. I was thinking about it today. I was thinking, like, it's been like 10 years, it's been a decade since like that ever had, since I like got in a fight. And I was like, that's very good. First of all, that's great. That's very good. And I was like, I wonder if people who are more active have can say it's been 10 years. And, you know, I don't know.
That's a great question.
It's a good question. I mean, shit. I mean, for me, it's probably just like a show like Moshing or something recently, like, been behaving myself.
Well, that's I gotta ask it that way. I gotta ask it backwards. When's the last time you got punched in the face? I don't want you to incriminate yourself and say that. Yeah, you know, I can't say when's the last time, because sometimes it doesn't go. There's, you know, there's been times where I only got punched in the face and I had nothing to do. Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
Sometimes those are the ones you need, though.
Yeah, I remember one time a guy came up to me and he shook my hand and he said, "We don't have a problem, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, no, we're good." And I turned around and he hit me so hard. It was right when I spun around. It was right in the middle of the floor at the Auto Bar in Baltimore. I turned around and clocked me. And I swear to God, I folded in half. I stayed up, but I like, and luckily it all got, you know, I didn't punch him once, but other people did. But he, but that was. You know, sometimes you just get hammered for no reason. Anyway, okay, so I know you guys are pretty active. I see you coming out here to Pennsylvania, the Keystone, what do they call it, Keystone Winter Jam or something like that?
Yeah, holiday this time. Holiday Jam.
That's probably it, Holiday Jam. That's at Reverb Reading, which is just down the road here. What are the touring plans you got going on, if any?
Nothing touring yet set in stone. Mm-hmm. Maybe just some ideas, maybe hopefully to go to Europe next year. That is maybe in the works. Maybe try to do some fucking places in the US that we haven't done. And then, yeah, we got like, we're playing our fucking record release coming up, in Chicago. That's going to be an awesome show. We fucking love every band on that show. Stoked on that shit. November 6th at Cobra
Lounge. All right, this will be out before that. So tell me about that show.
Yeah. So first of all, fucking, it's at Cobra Lounge. We all love that venue. People work there. The food, the drinks. You know, it all holds a special place in our hearts. So makes sense. We got Section Hate from fucking LA. They just put out a killer fucking record.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Nightmare. So sick. Yeah, I think this is their first time fucking playing out in Chicago, so that would be sick. Queensway, like we were talking about, great Baltimore band. I'll be fucking sick to that. They played Cobra Lounge like a few years ago, but this time I think it's just gonna fucking pop off.
Nice.
Yeah, and then One-on-One, from Pennsylvania. Yeah, stoked to see them. This is their second show. I was just watching videos from their first show this weekend at that Buried Alive show. Look crazy.
Is that are they out of like the Pittsburgh area? I'm not familiar with them, but I did see the name on your show flyer.
Yeah, Greenfield Mike, Ten of Swords, Enemy Mine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. It's that Pittsburgh, yeah, man. Pittsburgh's so far away. It feels like a different state. That's like Ohio, and you know, only so much respect for Ohio. But no, it's funny. I don't know. My geography's terrible, but like Pennsylvania hardcore, it's really. I mean, it might be the same for you guys. I don't know, but you could drive like 4 hours and barely get to the next scene. You know, but you're still in the state, and you know, we have Philly. Used to have a good one here in central Pennsylvania. It's not doing too well right now. But there's always been like Wilkes-Barre and Nanticoke up there, like, you know, Wisdom and Chain, Strength for a Reason, that area, Coal World, whatever. And then Pittsburgh was always like Beatdown, right? That was just like Beatdown area. And then you had Erie, that was a whole different thing. But there's just like these separate things. But that, like Pittsburgh, I'm always out of touch on what's happening in Pittsburgh. Although they got that great record store and venue there from AJ from Face Rec, which is awesome. But anyway, all right. So hey, before I let you go, I just want to ask, because I like checking with people from other areas to keep me up to speed. What bands do you got going on in Chicago right now that people outside of Chicago might not be aware of that we should be?
I mean, people. I'm sure people are aware, like Karma.
Yeah.
Anche's other band, Sector. Our other band, Grounds of Execution. I know they're like working on some other stuff, some new stuff. Break the Cycle is a new band from here. Trey Five, another new band from the area. Some heavier stuff. Bovice. I don't know if you've heard of them, but Bovice.
Yeah, Bovice on Upstairs. That split good. With Hurt Piece. Yeah.
Yeah. They're real good. They're real tight live. They sound great. Good dudes. If you're more into like softer stuff, Beaver, our drummer, has another band, Illusion of Choice, which is really good. They have like a demo up on Spotify, so if people are feeling some like softer stuff for the fall, that's on there. That's just really good.
Just put your flannel on, get cozy.
Yeah, exactly.
Get sad.
Yeah.
Get out the Kleenex.
No, that's good. I don't know about you, but I listen to everything, so that's I will check them out.
Okay. I was going to mention, we saw his band not too long ago, Payasa.
Payasa?
Fucking, I think, like, it was, like, the first show. It's, like, one of the first shows I saw in Chicago after the pandemic and shit, and I'd never heard of them, but they were, like, playing the fastest shit, and out of nowhere, it got really fucking hard, and then started watching it. Sick.
That's awesome. I gotta check that out just for that name alone. That kind of works. It's the same way with MH Chaos. I'm not that curious of a person, so I just saw the name MH Chaos and like, what does this like? You know, like, it's like I gotta listen to like, it better be good, you know? Like, you can't like, you can have a name like that and have it suck. You know, but it works. It works. But yeah. All right, guys. I don't got much more for you, but thanks for doing this, taking the time on a Monday night.
Fuck, dude. Thank you, man. It's time to watch football, right?
Yeah, who's playing? The stupid Ravens and that idiot, dude. Carson Wentz? I'm an Eagles fan. Yo, fuck Carson Wentz.
That fucking field goal, I was at that game.
Were
actually.
You?
She was sick.
You know, but here's the problem with that field goal, is that Justin Tucker is a shitty person and a terrible tipper. So, here's a story with Justin Tucker. A friend of, well, a hardcore kid in Baltimore. He used to work at, he used to be a valet at one of the restaurants down there. And Tucker was notorious for coming in and not tipping anybody. So like, even when, like, I'm sitting here with my family and he makes that field goal And I was just like, you know, but he's a shitty tipper. You know,
like, it's just rude. I don't even fucking damn.
Fuck that field goal. That field goal wasn't shit.
And look, I'm not even the best tipper, but at least I tip, you know. And apparently Justin Tucker is not a tipper. So
damn, what a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully he misses one tonight. But all right, fellas, let's get to it. Thanks for doing this.
All right.
I appreciate the time. All right.
Thank you, brother.
Yep. Later, fellas.
To choose between good and evil, the choice will never be yours.
Noise of follow the 666. Got a real devil in it, the woman's on the crucifix. Let the rest come up with their own price. I'm rolling with chaos, not Satan or Jesus Christ. Living this life could be a little risky. Swing with their life, just know that they'll miss me. Till my mind explodes, I will be done. Can't help but thank you, sir, excuse for a son. This is war, keeps me moving to the end of the block. It's a feeling that I don't think will ever fucking stop. Till my last strike breath, I'll bring chaos. Till the tragedy of life keeps it play on. Being young and doing shit that might kill us. You knew that we grew up into some natural bone killers. Take this mindset and bring it to the top. Give it your all till your dead body drops. Doesn't matter where you're from or where you're at. As long as you got your fucking head about your ass wet. And you're ready to step to the back. To get to the top with the world on your back. I hate the world in the top of my head. Let's take some shit in the books that I read. I'll keep it moving with this feeling without instinct or guilt. Respect the before us, we got missions to fill. No need to follow the 666. Got a real devil in it, the one on the crucifix. Let the rest come up with their own price. I'm rolling with chaos, not Satan or Jesus Christ. Living this life could be a little risky. Swing with their life, just know that they'll miss me. Extradition of the fakes, our fucking mission. The fate of the weak is ultimately attrition. Extradition of the fakes, our fucking mission. The fate of the weak is ultimately attrition! Being young and doing shit that might kill us. You know that we grew up into some natural born killers. Take this mindset and bring it to the top. Give it your all till your dead body drops. Doesn't matter where you're from or where you're at. As long as you're ready to step to the bed.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with the fellas in MHKS. The song you just heard was Natural Born Killer. We talked a little bit about that track, including the fact that it includes some members of The Killer. And yeah, it is as good as advertised. I will say that if you like heavy hardcore, if you don't like heavy hardcore, you will not like this record. Fairly simple. Again, as of Sunday night, October 17th, there was, I think, 4 vinyl copies left on Fast Break's website. At least that's what social media says. So get there immediately and buy it. But I also mentioned you can get it from within as well. So do that. Do one of the things. Don't do nothing. Don't be one of those people. Again, thanks to Anchet and Evan for their time, for the conversation, for their music. I think we only glanced over, but they also were both in another band called Grounds of Execution, which is very cool. And Anchet is in a third band called Sector, who I also enjoy. They had a cool split come out sometime in the last year or two with Raw Life, maybe? Am I remembering this correctly? Could be getting it wrong. I don't know. Fact check me. I don't mind. But yeah, okay, so that's going to be it for this episode. Lots of things I could tell you that are on the horizon, but you could just go, you know what? No, I will. Okay, so I have a ton of episodes recorded. We're getting closer to episode 200. There's only 5 more to go for that. 4 more, I guess. And I've got quite a few interviews already done. We have Heath Ray from Lotus Thrones. Trey Pemberton from Creeping Death is back. I got Mike Musilli of Become One. And who else is in there? Ooh, there's one I'm recording tomorrow that you'll find out about later. But that gets us to 199. Some of the other ones are already recorded too for episode 200. See, I was plural there. Let's see if that actually works out. Okay, but that's enough of leading you on for now. I'm going to end this one with a track from the long-running Blackened Death Polish metal band for... Wait, I said that like that's a genre, Polish metal. Blackened Death metal band from Poland, Hate. The song is called Resurgence. It's off of their new album, Rugia. It's off of their new album. Let's just say that. It's off of their new album. It came out October 15th on Metal Blade Records. And if you haven't heard it yet, you're going to hear some of it now. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.